Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Headlines this hour brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass, always 420 at Buddy's. Kevin Mather, Mariners president, stepping down, resigning. We'll hear from John Stanton, the owner, CEO, coming up in just a couple moments live. Noah Williams, Pac-12 Player of the Week, former O'Day star from Seattle, averaged 28.7 rebounds, 5 assists last week as the Cougs swept the Bay Area schools. Jordan Morris, horrible news from across the way in Wales. Team he went over to play in the Champions League for. He tore his ACL. He is out for probably the next calendar year. Gonzaga is still number one in the AP poll. Baylor is number two. All right, we'll stand by and wait for John Stanton to take the Zoom call podium, so to speak, and we'll go to that live for in a moment. The big news, obviously, Kevin Mather, his comments to the Bellevue Rotary Club, in which he offended really anybody and everybody involved with the organization and outside, including fans, current and former players, current and former employees. I mean, it's
current and former affiliates in...
Yeah, I mean, even get into the Everett thing, taking a shot at the Everett Aqua Sox in their facilities up there. It was just awful. A lot of people asking the question about resigning as opposed to getting fired, and part of that is that because he has an ownership stake or not. Not sure if that's the case, and you know all that works. Hopefully, he'll address all of that coming up in just a couple of minutes. And Kevin, is that an empty podium I see right now?
For now, yes. Yeah.
Okay, good. Why don't you pop that up so I can see the podium? I don't need to see Ryan Divish's big head up there.
I think you're actually looking at my head.
Is that your head?
Right here? Yeah, that's me.
Huge thanks, by the way, to Nathan Bishop and Chris Crawford, and I hope you guys enjoyed that as much as we did. I just thought it was important to get some new voices on today, and voices that have a passion for the game and a passion for the team. Because that's honestly who Kevin Mather offended is more than anybody. You know, this is an organization that doesn't have – they've lost the fringe fan. There's fans – I think the fringe fan now is just a fan of the pen and the ballpark experience. The casual baseball fan more and more is disappearing. And it is not a sport or certainly not a team that can afford to lose any more fans. They just can't afford to do that. And we asked the question, we'll get to the text coming up in the next segment, maybe even some phone calls. You know, is this enough to fix it? I'll be honest with you. I'm looking at the text yet. I'm kind of glancing here real quick. I think ownership, and it's easier said than done, I think until you just have a completely new... just a completely new environment and culture, that nothing's ever going to change. I mean, maybe if they win a few games, great. A World Series would certainly help, but winning usually cures all. I'm not sure if winning cures all here, and I guess I say that from this standpoint, Kevin, that I don't have any confidence that they can win or that they will win because they never have won consistently. And so I guess that's part of it. If it was, you know, frankly, if it was any of the other three teams, professional teams that are playing right now, not including the Kraken, if it was the Storm or the Seahawks or the Sounders, I'd say, well, you know what? They'll get it together. They'll fix it. You know, I know they got problems. Their president was an idiot. They haven't won for a few years, but there's a history there that they're going to win. Like the equity that the Sounders, the Storm, and the Seahawks have built with their respective fan bases is enormous. That's why I've always been just so really not able to quite wrap my arms around the intense, harsh criticism of the football team. They win every year. Winning Super Bowls is hard.
But you know why?
Because the expectations.
Passion.
Yeah, there's passion, and here's the other thing. The expectation's higher. They set a bar that's way higher. And I do understand. I get that
but
part of it.
But it's funny. Like it's just funny because at some point, you're going to start getting more blowback because there's more passion,
yeah.
And it's actually a good thing. Good organizations want to be talked about.
Well, and here, here... It's you're right, because there's passion for the Seahawks, and there's a demand of excellence for the Seahawks. And again, I'll include the other two smaller teams in the mix, too, the Sounders and the Storm. And they expect to see that. And when they haven't won, it's been because of something extraordinary happening, i.e., you know, Sue and Brianna are both out for the year. You know, your two best players are out for the year. The Sounders just go to the playoffs every single year. Despite major injuries, they find a way to make it happen because there's an expectation that they're going to be great, and they set that bar very high. And the Seahawks, since Pete Carroll has come here, and I think even going back to the Mike Holmgren days, have been in that same mindset. But you said something that is key as we wait for John Stanton. Passion. And right now, there isn't a lot of passion for the baseball team. Instead, the words are probably anger and apathy. You know, apathy one, anger two. But right now, probably anger one, apathy two. And that's the worst possible thing you can have, especially with another pro sports franchise, albeit not the same time of the year, but there is some crossover coming into play. You can ill afford to have that. You can't afford to have that. And you have, as Chris and Nathan mentioned in the last segment, you've got young players. You've got legitimate young talent coming up. There's reasons to be excited. But these guys step on themselves all the time. You know, I maybe it's unfair in a sense, but hopefully you understand why I'm critical of Jerry DePoto dashing any hope to have hope. You know, I mean, you can't do that. You've got to give fans a reason to watch as opposed to tune in 2 years. It's the worst business move ever.
Especially when you're openly talking about the fact that you're not bringing up your best players.
John Stanton is making his way to the podium. He's sitting down right now. Let's go live down to T-Mobile Park and hear from the Mariners owner and CEO, John Stanton.
A reminder, we'll have you muted except when you're asking a question. If you do have a question to ask, please use the raise hand function. I'll call on you and you can. And
that
John
is,
will take
Tim Heavily, who is the Mariners Director of Public Relations, to start things off. And here is John Stanton. I'll be honest with you, this is odd. He's taking a sip of water. I would think he'd have an opening statement, but we're still waiting for him to start speaking, or maybe just a question. We'll wait and see. As the Mariners CEO and owner is sitting there. Do we have an opening statement, John? John, do you have an opening statement?
All right. Yeah, we're working through. This is John Stanton, Chairman.
Good afternoon. Like all of you, I was extremely disappointed by Kevin Mather's recent comments. His comments were inappropriate and do not reflect our organization's feelings about our players, our staff, or our fans. There is no excuse for what was said, and I will not try to make one. I offer my sincere apology on behalf of the club and my partners to our players and our fans. We must do and we must be better. We have a lot of work to do to make amends, and that work is already underway. Kevin Mather has resigned his position, effective immediately. I want to thank Kevin for his 25 years of service to the Seattle Mariners. I will serve as acting president and CEO until a successor can be chosen. Everyone at the Seattle Mariners remains committed to our mission to play championship baseball, to delight our fans, and to serve our community. We will do everything we can to demonstrate that commitment going forward.
John, can you hear me?
No, I can't hear you.
Yeah. To the media on the call, we're having a small technical issue in our room. As soon as we get the volume turned on so that John can hear your questions, we will take your questions. So please stand by one moment.
All right, so it looks like they're... I mean, you can insert your joke here. Like, really? I mean, come on. So they're trying to figure out the audio situation down there at T-Mobile Park so they can get the Zoom calls to work. Are they just both sitting there, Kevin?
I'm looking. Silence right now. Okay. As they're working.
All right. I know you're kind of monitoring it.
Yeah.
Could you have maybe asked the Seahawks or the Sounders how to do this? I mean, because they both seem to have it figured out. The Huskies have to do it pretty well, don't they? I think Hopkins does something earlier today. You know, Jimmy Lake didn't have a problem. Nick Rolovich didn't have an issue. Come on, man. Like, really? Like, how just absolutely... This is them in a nutshell. By the way, John Stanton, opening statement, just read his opening statement. He just read the statement from earlier. So I think I'd like a little bit more Maybe something off the cuff, heartfelt, okay, as opposed to a prepared statement.
John, can you walk us through the last 24 hours when you found out what Kevin had said and up until the point when he resigned? And did you consider firing him at any point?
Could you hear anything, Kevin? John, can you hear me? Ryan, can you repeat your question for Kevin, for John?
He's muted, Tim, just as a heads up.
John, can you walk us through the last 24 hours from when you found out about Kevin or about Kevin's comments and up until the point he resigned? And did you consider firing him at any point before he resigned his position?
It does appear, I'll jump back in here, that John Stanton
John is muted.
Hear the questions. Oh, no, John's muted. Wow.
He's talking, but we can't hear him.
Okay. This basically sums them up right now. This sums up the Seattle Mariners organization.
Yeah. Go ahead,
John. Ben's calling. Do you want to take that?
Go ahead. You're unmuted.
This is a comedy show.
Okay. John, you're unmuted now.
Here we go.
Ryan, I apologize. I did hear the question, but maybe for everyone else, you can repeat the question, and then I'll try and answer it.
Sure. Can you walk us through the last 24 hours or so?
I can't hear him.
Wow.
Can you hear me now?
It's a commercial. Can you hear me now? John, yep. It's Ryan Divish. I will be honest with you. Normally, we would bail out of something like this. I think because the story is so big, we've got to stay with it. And I don't want to laugh, but I just, the fact that they can't get this figured out is remarkable to me. Is it not, Kev? Am I being too critical? I mean, come on.
I know how frustrating it is when things don't work technically, and I'm really doing everything I can to not. Here we go. We're going to try again.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let's try it again, Ryan.
Okay. John, can you walk us through the last 24 hours from when you first heard about Kevin's comments up until the point he resigned? And did you consider firing him at any point before his resignation?
Let me first apologize for the video and audio quality. We're obviously all living in the age of COVID and Zoom. Thank you for your question, Ryan. I first learned about that the comments existed from a tweet yesterday late morning, and then got a hold of the YouTube link and read a transcript. I was terribly concerned about that. I talked to Kevin, and then I talked to a number of other people in our organization, including most of my partners and much of management. I came in this morning, and Kevin was prepared to resign, and I accepted his resignation.
Had he not resigned, would you have fired him, though, John?
Tim, if someone else is asking a question, I'm not hearing it.
Can you hear me, John?
Can you hear me now?
Kevin, can you hear me?
Well, as you can hear right now, they're having still communication issues. Ryan Divish trying to ask a follow-up whether or not John Stanton would have fired Kevin Mather had he not resigned. I guess all we've got out of that is that he came in and resigned today. I think they're going to keep trying. Is he talking again, Kev?
We're talking about shutting it down and restarting. Sorry, hitting the wrong button. Why don't we take a quick break? We're going to try to restart here and see if we can't get going again. All apologies right to everyone listening, too. Obviously, we're all frustrated by this.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more on 950 KJR.
Now back to Ian Furness on your home for March Madness and the Final Four. Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
The Mariners are going to attempt to resume the John Stanton news conference in about 7 or 8 minutes. I use the word attempt with a lot of conviction because I don't think there's any guarantee they'll have it figured out by then. It is a tough thing. I mean, I hear that someday Zoom's going to be so easy that maybe a family can do like a reunion or a happy hour, you know, with friends and family across the country via Zoom. That's how easy it should be someday. We haven't reached that point yet where like anybody could set up a Zoom call. Someday we'll be able to set up a Zoom call in which in a radio station, you can actually patch in a Zoom call and have a couple guys on and talk about the big topic of the day. Oh, wait a second.
That sounds too crazy.
That's crazy an hour ago. That'll be podcast, by the way. And actually, are you going to post a video of that?
Yeah, we're going to do video of it.
Yep. I love that.
Okay,
we've got a ton of texts, and I'm going to get to those in a second. But it is it bottom of the hour, Kevin? That is that when they're going to try to resume this?
Okay, we're actually going to go.
Okay,
looks like we're going now.
Here's John Stanton.
Difficulties. We are going to try this one more time. Mr. Divish, I believe you have a question.
John, I'd asked if... had Kevin not resigned, would you have fired him based on the comments that he made?
First of all, let me apologize for the AV problems that we've had. It's important. We wanted to communicate with you on short notice, and the fact that we had a few glitches in getting it together is just a reflection on the fact that we were trying to get to you quickly. Ryan, thanks for your question. I didn't have to make that decision. I came in this morning and Kevin resigned. I believe that that's the right answer for the organization.
A question from Corey Brock.
Hi, John. In terms of making amends, as you mentioned in the statement, it seems like that's going to be a lengthy process. How do you even begin to go about that, especially touching on various people, various departments, team employees, the fan base? It seems a little daunting. Can you tell us a little bit about what this is going to be like?
Thanks for the question, Corey. You're right. This is going to be a process. It's going to be a journey. We started that journey this afternoon with conversations with our executive management team. We're going to have a call with all of our employees tomorrow. I've already talked to our owners and I've talked to the league, and we'll continue to work with those constituents. And I'm planning to fly down to Arizona tomorrow so that I can talk to our coaches, our staff, and our players.
A question from Chris Francis.
John, thanks for doing this, especially on such short notice. How do you regain the trust of the players? That seems to be one of the biggest factors here. They're some of them are directly insulted.
Thanks, Chris. Trust is built over time. It can be lost quickly, but it is built over time. And I know that many people in the organization, including me, have worked to build a trusting relationship with our players, the new players as they've arrived. I've certainly feel like I have a pretty good relationship with a number of the players that have been there, and that will be tested with the process over the next few days and over the next few months. But ultimately, Chris, the answer is that we're going to have to continue to work at it and work at it every day.
A question from Larry Stone.
Yeah. Hey, John. In his remarks to the Bellevue Club, Rotary Club, Kevin unveiled a strategy that could be construed and is being construed as service time manipulation. How would you respond to that? And do you feel the need to address that in particular with Jared Kelnick?
The decisions in baseball are made by Jerry DePoto and the baseball operations team. That has and will continue to be the case. The comments Kevin made notwithstanding. I believe that Jerry has and Scott has talked to Jared and will continue to. We view Jared to be an extraordinarily talented young man, and we are very much looking forward to having him in a Seattle Mariners uniform. Jerry and Scott will make that decision as to when.
Question from Shannon Dreher.
John, thank you for doing this. You mentioned just disappointment in the comments that you heard. What was your immediate concern, specifically when you did find out what was said?
Well, there were a number of comments made by Kevin that, as I've said, didn't reflect the Mariners, don't reflect what I believe, what our ownership believes, and were inappropriate. And those comments included some of the things that have been referenced with respect to our players, and in particular, the importance of diversity and inclusion in our organization. And we have that as a central value to the organization, and we will do everything we can to continue to deliver on that commitment.
A question from Tim Booth.
John, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Kevin has a small stake in ownership of the franchise. Will he retain that and still be associated with the franchise in that way?
He does have a small ownership stake. Frankly, we haven't addressed that issue yet.
Question from Jessamine McIntyre.
Hi, John. Thank you very much for your time. It's good to see you. Obviously, not the best circumstances. When it comes to Julio Rodriguez, he's someone who could really be a foundational player for this franchise. When you heard his reaction to Mather's comments, what did you think, and have you spoken with him directly?
Thanks, Jess. It's nice to see you as well. Julio is an incredibly talented young man, and we very much look forward to having him in our organization for many years. I was disappointed in Kevin's comments with respect to Julio, in part because I know how hard Julio has worked on his language skills. I follow him on social media, and I enjoy his the messages that he delivers. I'm going to try to talk to him when I'm down in Arizona Wednesday, but I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet.
Question from Ryan Divish.
Now, do you feel it's important to get face-to-face with these players as a group, individually? How are you going to handle that moving forward again? Because it seems like there's a lot to unpack from all the things he said in 45 minutes, and the general trust within the fan base, within the players, within the staff seems to be lost or eroded completely. What do you do? First steps.
Brian, I don't agree with your premise. I don't think that the trust has been completely eroded. I believe that Jerry is highly respected. I believe that Scott is highly respected. And in the clubhouse, those are the two people, Scott in particular, that the players look at. I think that that's who many of the fans look to as well. Kevin's comments did not reflect the values of this organization, as I've said a couple of times already. In terms of building trust going forward, you build trust over time, and you build that relationship by communicating honestly, consistently, and doing it in a way that is able to meet those, both the players and the fans. Specifically with respect to the players, I feel like, you know, for guys like Kyle Seager and James Paxton and Marco Gonzalez, you know, I have tried to spend time with them since they arrived in the organization, and I will continue to do that, as well as guys like Justice Sheffield and Justin Dunn and obviously Mitch Haniger. So we will do everything we can as an organization to continue to build that trust. But I do think it's important to not lose sight of the fact that the primary responsibility for baseball operations resides with Jerry DePoto. And I think that Jerry does everything he can to build good relationships, as does Scott.
Question from Curtis Crabtree.
Hey, John. With Jared Kelnick and Julio Rodriguez being two of your marquee prospects, you guys have spent the last couple of years creating this rebuild and progressing towards where they're going to be a part of this. With Kevin's comments kind of having them at, you know, kind of the middle of this thing here, I know you said you don't feel trust has been eroded, but the team president kind of making those kind of comments seems like it might be tough to at least get them to see it, that there's not a trust loss there. I mean, even if you don't feel like it represents the team, they could. And how do you kind of square those and make sure it's not this massive road bump that you guys hit here as you're trying to get this thing on the right track?
Thanks, Curtis. I'm going to view today and yesterday as low points in terms of those relationships. We have got to do everything we can, and we will do everything we can to continue to build the relationships with those young players. And there are many more young players that, you know, many of whom aren't even on the 40-man or even invited to camp. We are building an organization that is going to play championship baseball over a long period of time. And that depends on building a trusting relationship with our players and our fans and our staff. And we're going to do everything we can to build that going forward.
Question from Jeff Passan.
Hi, John. Will Kevin be receiving a severance package of any kind? And if so, how was that determined?
We haven't gotten there yet, Jeff. The news announcement is only a couple hours old. I had my first meeting with him, and he'll meet with some of our legal and HR people going forward.
A question from Jonathan Cho.
How are you doing, sir? I have a very quick question. The Mariners have a huge fan base in Japan. Many come to Seattle every season, spend millions of dollars on the local economy. How do you make sure this isn't disrupted, and how do you rebuild trust with that fan base, many who were offended?
Our Japanese, as well as our other fans, are incredibly important to us. The opening series in Japan for Ichiro's final game was, for me, one of the most meaningful games that I've ever been to, and I've been to a lot of games over the years. I am fully aware of that, and I've communicated with our friends at Nintendo, who are still significant owners of the Seattle Mariners, my apologies, our apologies for this, and we will do everything we can to continue to convey that to our fans. I do want to say that I think our fans are excited about the fact that Yusei Kikuchi is a starting pitcher for us, and that will continue to be the case. We value the fact, I believe it's now 23 consecutive years that we have had a Japanese player as a member of our 25, now 26-person roster, and we will continue to do everything we can to continue to develop that important relationship between Seattle and Japan and between the Seattle Mariners and our fans.
Tim Booth.
John, of everything that Kevin said in his 45 minutes, what troubled you the most? What bothered you the most?
Tim, that's probably a good question. I'm not sure I have a good answer for you. It was, for me, the accumulation of all of the comments. It wasn't an individual comment, although there were certainly a number that were particularly unfortunate. It was the fact that the entire commentary reflected a number of views that were not consistent with the Mariners organization.
Larry Stone, question.
Hey, John, yesterday Kevin put out a statement that seemed to indicate that he was going to move forward. Did something change between yesterday and today that led to him offering his resignation? Did he convey that to you?
Well, Larry, thank you very much. I believe that for all of us, the speed with which things unfolded, even though the talk he had given was 2+ weeks ago, at least I was unaware of it until yesterday. I don't think Kevin was aware that there was a tape of it until yesterday. And things happened very rapidly. I probably made 30 phone calls yesterday and another 30 or 40 today. So I think that is probably true for Kevin as well, that, you know, he read a lot of the press, frankly, Larry, including your commentary last night. And I'm sure that influenced him as well.
Question from Corey Brock.
John, this has been an awfully difficult two-decade stretch for the franchise in many regards, not having made the postseason, numerous front office changes, draft misses, and things of that nature. It seems, which have certainly led to some fan apathy, but it seems you guys have started to change that narrative with this rebuild, that fans were getting on board with what you guys are doing and how you are going about doing it. I'm wondering, do you think that Kevin's comments yesterday derails to any degree the positive inroads you guys have made?
Thanks, Corey. I think you know I've been a fan and a season ticket holder essentially forever for the Mariners, and it is painful for me that we haven't been in the playoffs for two decades as well. I believe that yesterday's comments represented a setback, a disappointment. They didn't derail where we are. This franchise at its core is built around a group of young players that are incredibly talented and committed to the game. And those young players are in Arizona right now working hard to build a team. It's based around coaches and supporting staff, strength and conditioning trainers that are trying to make sure that those young players can perform on the field. It's also built around a marketing team that you interact with every day, including Tim and Kevin, Kelly and Adam. It's also built around the staff of people who work here, the roughly 300 people who work in T-Mobile Park. It's also based around the roughly 1,000 people who are day of game staff that work for us. Certainly, I'm not trying to minimize the significance of the comments or of Kevin's resignation, but I think it is important to keep in perspective that the Mariners are a very solid organization with a great group of players committed to winning. We're committed to delighting our fans, and we're committed to serving the community, and we try and do all three of those things every day.
A question from Gabe.
Hey, John. You saying that you were troubled by Kevin's comments. Do you feel like any sort of problems within the organization go out the door with him, or are you of the mind that maybe a greater, I guess, organizational introspection needs to happen? And I guess, what would that look like for you going forward?
Thanks, Gabe. I feel like the Mariners have, over the last 2 years, done a great deal of work to create a culture that is positive with the organization. The comments yesterday are inconsistent with that, and it's important for us to make sure we continue to focus on the things that are important: serving our fans, playing championship baseball, and serving our community. And I think that we do that. In a sense, it's much like the question as to whether this was a setback. This was a disappointing day. Yesterday was a disappointing day. Tomorrow's going to be a better day, and we're going to focus on that.
Ryan Divish, another question. Ryan?
John, I had two questions. One, have you heard from any of your corporate sponsors about the situation and their response? And then also, how are you going to restructure your leadership, your front office? Or are you going to begin the process of searching for a replacement for Kevin while you handle his duties in the interim?
I think that was five questions. I'll try and answer them all, Ryan. The first one, I think, was, have I heard from our sponsors? We proactively reached out to our sponsors. Our sales and sponsorship team has been on the phone with them. I have not talked to any of the sponsors today, but I certainly will in the coming days. Second, with respect to restructuring, it's the announcement on Kevin is, I think, now an hour and a half or an hour and 45 minutes old. We haven't figured out what we're doing next, other than I take the role. Like any good organization, we have always had a succession plan, and the succession plan in an emergency for Kevin has always been that I would step in, and I've done that. I'm going to sit with each of the key members of our leadership team in the next few days, you know, starting probably with Jerry in Arizona, along with Trevor, Kevin Martinez, Fred Rivera, Francis Traceman. I'm going to sit with each of them and talk to them about what they do. This is an opportunity for us to look and see if there are opportunities to do things better. But from my point of view, I don't begin this role with any expectation that there will be meaningful changes in the structure. And with respect to the last question, you know, we are going to conduct a search. We are going to start tomorrow building a list of prospective candidates, and we'll look for someone who can lead this organization going forward.
A question from Jessamyn McIntyre.
Hello again. You have the succession plan for an emergency situation. Is that something that you had planned on always, or is it something that perhaps you knew might come up? Kevin Mather was pretty casual in his comments. Is it something that you knew that he might be capable of? And is this a plan you had in place just in case that happened?
Thanks, Jess. I probably should have elaborated in the last question. For better or worse, I've been in leadership roles in public companies for about 33 years, I guess it is. A standard part of any good organization, I suspect, including yours, is that you, on at least an annual basis, you sit down and you talk about the person if someone was unable to perform their duties for whatever reason, who would take that role on an emergency basis, who are the potential successors 1 to 3 years out. And so we have had that, you know, plan, if you will, in the drawer for everyone in senior leadership at the Mariners. And I suspect if you ask folks at your organizations, they've got a list like that. Certainly every public company I've been involved in has that kind of a plan. So there was nothing special with respect to Kevin or issues with respect to the Mariners that caused us to have it. It's just a routine part of doing good business.
Question from Kevin Shockey.
Yeah, John, did Kevin Mather misspeak when he said that the organization would not call up prospects for service time reasons rather than baseball reasons?
Thanks, Kevin. The decisions concerning when players are called up are made by Jerry and the baseball team that he leads. Frankly, they were not decisions that were made by Kevin. They were made have been since Jerry arrived, and before that by his predecessor, by the general manager, and based on input from both the coaches as well as the analytics team. And we would expect that that will be the case going forward, and I've already spoken to Jerry this afternoon about that.
Question from Tim Booth.
John, have you spoken with Commissioner Manfred? And if so, how would you characterize his reaction and the basis of your conversation?
I've spoken a couple of times with Commissioner Manfred. I value his counsel. This was entirely a local decision, but we're a part of a larger universe within Major League Baseball, and I thought it was important to both apprise the commissioner as to what was going on here, as well as to seek his advice. He's dealt with a lot of issues in baseball for a number of years during his career, and I very much appreciated the advice he was able to give me.
Question from Larry Stone.
Yeah, John, two questions. One, the senior member of your ball club is Kyle Seager, whom Kevin called probably overpaid. Is that something that you will have to take up with Kyle? And the second question is, do you have any status update on the Lorena Martin case to give us?
Second question first. The Lorena Martin case was settled some time ago. The question with respect to Kyle's interesting. I think I've known him since he arrived here. He gave my son's 13-year-old ball club a tour when he was at his first spring training. I think the world of Kyle. I think he's a wonderful and important part of the team. As you've heard me say before, Larry, I think a lot about leadership, and I think Kyle provides some great leadership for us, both on the field and in the clubhouse. I will apologize to Kyle when I see him for the comment. I think that Kyle has been an incredibly important part of this organization. And I think one thing I would agree with that Kevin said yesterday, someday he will be in the Mariner Hall of Fame.
I think we have two or three more. Jonathan Cho, question.
Sir, just a few quick follow-ups. Are you concerned at all about Latin American and Japanese players no longer wanting to come to the Seattle Mariners organization and play for your team? And also, what else needs to be done about diversity and inclusion? Do you need to improve in that area for your organization?
The comments yesterday, or the comments that were reported yesterday, as I've said time and time again, don't reflect this organization. And I think it's important, while we're all very focused on this issue at this time today, the long history of the organization, I believe, has generally been very positive. I made the comment to your last question, Jonathan, about the number of years that we have had Japanese players. As you know, we've had Korean players. We've got some Taiwanese players in the organization. We have had a large group of Dominican players, Venezuelan players like Felix in the organization, and we welcome them. I think one of the great strengths of baseball is the diversity and creating an inclusive environment and creating an equitable arrangement for people that represent diversity is an important value and part of the organization. And I think we need to continue to reinforce that. We have taken steps, even since I arrived on scene in our front office, to increase the amount of diversity. And in the front office, I would note gender diversity is also very important to us. It's not a destination, it's a journey. The process of building a strong organization doesn't occur in one move or one night. Nor, in my opinion, can it be destroyed by one set of comments. We do everything we can to build a strong organization. And frankly, I know my businesses aren't particularly relevant, but in all the businesses that I have been involved in, we do our best to be diverse, inclusive, and equitable in the arrangements that we have with the members of our teams.
Thank you.
Question from Lauren Smith.
Hi, John. You mentioned in your statement that work is already underway to make amends for the comments made. Can you expand on what that work involves as it pertains to players, coaches, the fan base, or others?
Well, I've had a series of conversations with Jerry and Scott over the last 24 hours. I've already mentioned that I'm planning to go down to Arizona and be down there on Wednesday, COVID permitting. Process from my perspective also includes the comments that we have made here today. It includes the written statement we've made that went to every employee of the Seattle Mariners. Players, I believe, are meeting with Scott in the morning, and I think Scott will address the situation. But you know, we've got to keep doing our best every day to continue to build a strong organization here. And from my point of view, that would be true whether or not the comments that Kevin made became public yesterday.
Question from Shannon Dreher.
John, how has your day-to-day changed now that you're taking on the additional responsibilities? And do you anticipate that this could be for a while, or you will be able to make a hire within the baseball season?
Shannon, that's a great question with respect to how soon we can make the hire. My hiring philosophy is to not let the clock determine what you're doing. Make a good decision. And so the first and most important thing I can say is we'll make a great decision on this. I spend a lot of time at T-Mobile Park. Actually, these days it feels like I spend more of my time on Teams and Zoom than at the park, as most of the meetings are virtual. And I'll continue to do that. I clearly will have more to do with respect to on regular meetings with all of the key executives within the organization. I've already been pretty involved in communicating with the staff over the period, particularly during COVID. We have regular, we call rundown meetings, and we'll continue to do those, and we're going to have another one this week.
Question from Ryan Divish.
I only have one question this time. It's my last one. You've said multiple times that Kevin's views don't reflect this organization. I mean, he's literally the CEO and president. Other than you, there is nobody else that probably views reflect an organization more than that. I mean, he's in the preeminent leadership position other than yourself. I just don't know that how you can construe that fans would believe that on some level.
Well, Ryan, just like any relationship and just like the relationship we have with all of you, we can just do our best job to try to improve what we are. Kevin's departure, I think, is a statement with respect to the commitment that we have. He recognized that he made a mistake and that he recognized the only way to cure that mistake was to resign. I recognize it's important to move forward and was willing to take on this role on an interim basis, and I'm doing that. But I would encourage you to think of an organization as more than one or two leaders, any more than the Seattle Times is simply a reflection of your publisher. The Times is a reflection of the work you do every day, Ryan. It's the reflection of the work that Larry does. Each of your organizations is a reflection of both the people who do the work as well as the leaders. And we're that too. You know, we're trying to get better. We're going to get better. We're going to focus on it. And when there is a mistake, you've got to apologize, correct, and move on.
Thank you, John. And thank you, everyone, for your time. There's no more questions on the board, so I think we're going to wrap this up. Again, we appreciate it. We apologize for the technical difficulties at the beginning. And please follow up with anyone in our group if you have anything you need to clarify. Thank you.
Well, yeah. I mean, answer a question. My God.
By the way, at the end, he said at a personal level, he wanted to thank everyone for being
here. I want to thank everybody for being here. Thanks a lot. Thanks, John, for doing it. Dick Fain, Tony Soft for coming up next. We had a ton of texts. Kevin, I'll ask you to print those up. We'll go through those tomorrow. I'll wrap it up with this. If there was a way for it to get worse for John Stanton and the Mariners, it just happened over the last hour. What an absolute embarrassment he, the organization, baseball team are for our city. Fain's next.